Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. It's always a joy to come together and worship and praise Him. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. To everyone who is a mother, happy Mother's Day. Who will be a mother in the future, happy Mother's Day. Or if you have a mother, happy Mother's Day. Did I miss anyone? Have a happy Mother's Day. It is often said that behind every good man stands a good woman. And in many cases, that good woman is mother. Good mothers are wise, strong, and gentle. And being a good mother is one of the most difficult jobs in the world. It's not easy. Businessmen and bricklayers both get off work at some time, maybe a little late, but they have quitting time to get off work, and they're done for the day. And they get days off. And sometimes they even take vacations. But mothers, it's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Even if you're not with your child, you're always thinking about your child. Today we're celebrating motherhood, and we're giving thanks to God for our mothers, and we'd like to bless the mothers here a little bit if we're able to. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 31. We can look at here. So chapter 15, verse 21 through 31. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of God, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said. "But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus left there and he went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. And the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Amen. As this passage tells us, or as it shows, this is a time when Jesus is doing many miracles of healing and many other miracles. And he's teaching the people. And he's fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies about what the Messiah will do when he comes, demonstrating his power and love and setting free those who are in bondage to various physical struggles or even to demons. And yet, for most of these events, none of the details are recorded. It usually just says, "And Jesus healed many people from the crowd," or "all that came to him." And even though when we look at our Bible, there are quite a few stories of miracles, the ones that we have any details about are actually not that many. Jesus was doing hundreds, perhaps thousands of miracles, and only a couple dozen are recorded in any detail. And as we look at this, we see that this story of the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus is placed right before the statement of the crowds of people coming and receiving healing and miracles. And yet the Canaanite woman's story is recorded in more detail. Some of the things that were said, some of the details are there. And that leads me to think, at least, that, oh, there must be something important here in this story for us to draw out, to reflect upon, and to learn from. Something important in those details if we reflect on it and think about it. Interestingly, the story that we're looking at today is actually a very controversial story. A lot of people don't like this story because it doesn't meet their expectations of how the Lord would deal with people. And the Gospel of Matthew was originally written for the Jewish people of that time as the main and first audience, first readers of the Gospel of Matthew. They didn't like this story either. They didn't like this story because they thought Jesus is being too nice to this woman. She's a Canaanite woman, a descendant of the enemies of Israel. She's unclean, the Pharisees would say. And yet Jesus speaks with her and heals her daughter and compliments her on her great faith. Modern readers, maybe us, sometimes we're uncomfortable with the story because it seems like Jesus is pretty hard on the woman, the things he says. He's pretty harsh. So we have the opposite problem that the original readers had. They thought, oh, Jesus is being too nice to this woman. We say, oh, Jesus is being kind of rough on this woman. It's sort of a matter of perspective to some extent, but let's reflect on some of the context of the story. Jesus had been ministering down in the main area of Israel, and then he goes up to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Matthew tells us, this is a nice painting of Matthew writing his gospel, that somebody imagined the scene. And Tyre and Sidon is the region north of Israel in what is modern-day Lebanon. It's away from where most of the Jewish people live. It's in the area that is mostly Gentile people. So Jesus is going up here already to minister to the Gentiles. Maybe he's going specifically to meet this woman. The Canaanites and Israel had been at war way back in the book of Joshua, in a long history of not getting along with each other, relationship as enemies. Like in the time of Jesus, the Romans were occupying Israel and they were the enemies to the Jews. Well, before that, the Canaanites were the ancient enemies. And even though there's this ancient bad relationship between the Jews and the Canaanites, Jesus goes up to this area and he meets this woman, and there's some talk, but eventually he grants the woman's request. And he demonstrates that he cares about and loves those who are the enemies of Israel as well. It's a demonstration of Jesus loving everyone, including our enemies. Many of the Jews of Jesus' time were not ready to accept his teaching that we should love our enemies, whether it was about the Roman soldiers in their land occupying it, or whether it was about ancient enemies like the Canaanites. This passage also comes directly after Jesus' teaching about cleanness and uncleanness, about the clean and the unclean. And one implication of Jesus' teaching there about the clean and the unclean was that every person, Jew or Gentile, whose heart was open to God and was seeking God was made clean in God's eyes by the condition of their heart. Yet the common teaching of the Pharisees of the time was that all of the Gentiles were unclean and they would not associate with them, and certainly not speak with a Canaanite woman at all. So for the Jewish people that Matthew's gospel is originally written for, the problem is actually that Jesus is too nice to the woman. You ever think about that? That's how they felt when they read the story, I believe. They thought, why is Jesus even speaking to this woman, let alone actually healing her daughter? For us, the feeling may be a little different, because we expect Jesus to speak with kindness and gentleness to everyone who comes to him, and yet he's kind of hard on the woman. At first, he ignores her cry for mercy, and then he rebukes her. Yet in the end, he gives her what she's asking for and praises her faith. So what is going on here? Why is Jesus speaking with the woman the way that he does? Matthew doesn't tell us directly in his gospel why Jesus is doing this, but when I look at the story and I think about it and I pray about it and I meditate on it, I sort of come to the conclusion that what's going on is Jesus is testing his disciples. He's testing his disciples to see if they have learned the lessons of love and grace that he has been teaching them. See, Jesus is Lord and God, and yet he is the excellent teacher, a skilled teacher who uses many different ways to communicate his lessons to the people. And he's training the disciples in teachers, we all know, give tests. As far as we know, Jesus did not give any written exams that people had to fill out an answer sheet. But instead, he used the situations that they came to in their day-to-day life and ministry. Sometimes he used those to test the disciples, to reveal what was in the hearts of the disciples, to see, are they really learning the lessons of love and mercy that are being taught? Jesus himself, of course, already knew what was in their heart. But sometimes the disciples did not understand what was in their own hearts. So they needed it to be revealed and brought out so that they would know their own situation and their own heart. Sometimes we can misjudge our own understanding. Do you ever think you were good at something and you weren't really? Found out afterwards? Always thought I was a great singer and then somebody told me. Well, example is, you know, missionaries come to Japan and then they're studying Japanese, and I always encourage missionaries to take the official Japanese language proficiency test, so you can find out how you're really doing. Because when you're studying every day and you're working with it and you're meeting people, if you're an optimistic type of personality, you've got a sense of optimism and you're kind of a go-for-it person, you tend to think you're a lot better than you really are. You begin to think, I'm getting it, and you're going out and you're boldly talking to people, and you don't realize that they're all scratching their heads saying, what did he mean? We didn't understand him. Or on the other hand, if you tend to be kind of a pessimistic person a little bit and a little bit withdrawn, even though you're actually doing quite well, you may begin to think, oh, there's no hope for me. I'm never going to get this language. And you may be very hard on yourself, thinking you're not learning anything, when in fact you're actually doing quite well. Because your personality and your perceptions are not always an accurate way to reflect your real progress on something. So if you take a test, it can reveal your actual progress, not just what you think, and give you a real measure of how you're doing. Well, Jesus is teaching the disciples about love and grace and mercy. And some of them probably think, we're getting this. Maybe some others thought, I don't understand. But how are they really doing? They needed tests. They needed opportunities to check their own hearts and to see how they were really doing. They didn't know necessarily whether they were doing well at learning what Jesus taught or not. Often they weren't doing nearly as well as they thought. Afterwards, they do better in the book of Acts. But we look at the Gospels, and sometimes the disciples are getting very confident, but they aren't doing so well at understanding. John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 reveals one of these situations where Jesus is testing his disciples. It's the time of the feeding of the 5,000, of that miracle, and it says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip standing here, the other disciples standing, he turns to Philip and gives Philip an exam question. See how Philip's doing. Where should we buy bread for these people to eat? And by Philip's answer and Philip's reaction, he sees, is Philip learning the lessons that have been taught about caring for the people, about God's provision, about the power of God to meet the need? It goes on, the writer of John tells us, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. You see, Jesus generally already knew what he was going to do, but he would still throw something out there to test the disciples to see their reaction, to see if they were learning. And he does the same thing with us sometimes. He already knows what he's going to do, but he puts us in some situation where our faith and understanding of God's ways is challenged. And we find out how we're doing. It's that problem, you know. You're thinking, you know, I have learned to love my neighbor. And then one day your neighbor brings home one of those little yippy dogs that barks all night. And after 3 weeks of that little dog barking all night, you find out, do you really know how to love your neighbor? Or was it just easy to get along with your neighbor as long as your neighbor did things you liked? You know, we have tests in our life of how we're doing at loving our neighbor and people. Going back to today's passage, let's take a look, a bit closer look. Matthew 15:22. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Her cry is remarkable because it immediately reveals that she is a person of faith. She is a person of surprising understanding. She believes that Jesus can cast the demon out of her daughter. She knows that he has the ability to meet her request. She calls him Lord and Son of David, recognizing that he is the Messiah who was to come, the one who is the Savior and has the power to help. Immediately in her cry, we see her faith. She believes in Jesus, and now she just has to entreat him and ask him to help. She is humble and filled with faith, and I think Jesus had already decided from the beginning that he was going to grant her request. And probably that's the very reason why he came to that region north of Israel, away from most of the Jewish people, was to meet this woman. Maybe there were other reasons as well, but I think that's one of the reasons he's there. He's come to where she lives, a woman from that vicinity. Jean Colombe painted the scene like this, in a painting of the Canaanite woman coming. Painting from 1489, and you see the woman kind of down there, and she's crying out for help, and the disciples are kind of whispering to each other, who is this lady? Why is Jesus even listening to her? The woman's crying out for mercy. What will the disciples do? What will be their reaction? Will they also ask the Lord to have mercy on this woman who is in need? Will they comfort the woman in her sorrow? Will they offer to help? It tells us Jesus did not answer a word. He gave the disciples time to say something first. A teacher throws something out. They wait to see what the students do before they give the answer, right? So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." If you were grading the test, what would you give them? What do you think? Have the disciples learned how to love their neighbor? Have they learned the ways of mercy and grace that Jesus has been teaching? Have they learned to love their enemy? Some teachers out here, they're being pretty hard on the disciples. Well, we're a lot like the disciples, so don't be too hard on them. I might get a D-minus too. The disciples know that Jesus was sent first to preach the good news to Israel, and afterwards the Gentile nations. They know, though, also that Jesus has already provided healing and comfort and teaching to many Gentiles. There are already many stories, if you look, of people who weren't Jews being healed, of women that Jesus cared for. So if they were paying attention, they would know that Jesus cares also about this woman. And yet, they don't seem to quite get it yet. Maybe if they were given a little more time to think about it, they would do better. Let's give the disciples more time to think, a second chance. Jesus goes on and he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. The disciples have a second chance to jump in here with their own comments. But then Jesus replies, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." What Jesus' answer reflects is the common attitude of many of the Jewish teachers, many of the Pharisees of the time. Maybe not all of them, but the common attitude was that the Messiah is the Messiah for Israel. The Gentiles are unclean. And we don't deal with them. They're like dogs, as it were, to us. That was a common attitude of many of the teachers of the time amongst the Pharisees. Not all of them, maybe, but many of them. And Jesus reflects that attitude. Sometimes you throw out a distractor to see how people will react. And I imagine there's a moment of silence here while the woman is thinking about how to respond. During this moment, Jesus maybe is looking at the faces of the disciples saying, "Okay, what's your reaction? What are they going to do? Are they going to say anything? Are they going to jump in? Are they going to comment?" Well, it seems that the disciples were silent. And the woman has time to think, and she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She chooses to reply in humility and in faith, still trusting the Lord. And Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The woman had great faith. Her eyes recognized and understood what was good and what was evil. She recognized that her daughter's problems were caused by an evil spirit. She recognized that Jesus, the Messiah and Lord, is the one who could help. And she went to him in humility, entreating him, praying to him, asking him for help. And Jesus' temporary silence and his seemingly harsh words reveal her faith even more clearly. For all to see how great her faith really is revealed by Jesus' delay in answering her request. the faith of this Canaanite woman surely shamed the disciples and made them re-examine their own hearts. She seems to have seen so much that the disciples could not see, even though they were with Jesus every day. Testing and trial made her faith shine all the more brilliantly. She was a woman of faith. She was a devoted mother out there seeking help for her child that was suffering and willing to humble herself before others to get help for her child. And although the scriptures do not record it, I feel that surely this woman went back, rejoiced with her daughter over what the Lord had done for her, and taught her daughter about Jesus, about where the miracle had come from, and about trusting in Jesus. And I imagine her daughter probably grew up to be a person of faith as well. Under the influence of this godly woman of faith. You know, mothers have a huge influence on their children. Mothers spend their days caring for their children and teaching them. They build their lives many times around their children. Even tiny babies know their mother's voice and listen for it. And children learn by their mother's example what is important in life. When the Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to Timothy, he recognized that Timothy's faith was received from Timothy's mother and grandmother before. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Faith was passed down from the grandmother to the mother to the son through the influence mothers have on their children. This does not happen, though, by accident. It does not necessarily happen automatically. It happens when a high priority is placed on raising the child to know the Lord. It takes deliberate action, just like teaching other things to children and modeling before them. In today's message, in today's passage, the Canaanite woman interceded in prayer with Jesus to get help for her daughter. She cried out from her heart, Lord, help me. She had great faith, and the Lord answered her cry. And I'm sure she went home and passed that faith on to her daughter. She is an inspiration and an example to us. Mothers, and yes, fathers also, we need to pray about, think about passing the faith on to our children. Do your children see you taking time to pray, taking time to read the Word, seeking in God's Word for answers to the problems of life, making it a priority to love others because that's what Jesus taught? When you model that for your children, they learn. But the Lord's grace and mercy are great, and maybe you haven't done so well. Maybe your children are already growing. Okay, the Lord's grace and mercy are sufficient for those of us who haven't done as well as we would like. I know I didn't do as well with my son as I would have liked. But God's grace is sufficient. But if you're a young mother, and even as an adult, you still have chances to influence your children, even if they're growing up. But think about, pray about how to pass that on. And all of us need to be very grateful and thankful that God gave us mothers. We wouldn't get very far without them. We need mom. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great provision that you knew what we needed and you provided mom and many other things. We pray, Lord, that mothers and fathers and would learn to pass their faith on to their children. We pray that children would learn to listen to encouragement to trust in Jesus. Lord, you provided for our needs here in many ways, through mothers, through fathers, through many other things. And you also provided for our great need of forgiveness of sins, of a second chance when we failed, and a third chance and a fourth chance so many times. Because your love was without limit, your grace is sufficient and plentiful, your mercy is deep. Lord, come now and meet each need, that hearts might be opened to you by the power of your Holy Spirit to give thanks to you, to confess sin, to turn away from everything that is not pleasing in your sight. And by your blood poured down from the cross, wash us clean once again. Make us clean, holy and pure, through hearts of faith, trusting in your finished work on the cross. Teach us the ways of love, mercy, and grace. Teach us the ways of gratitude and thanksgiving, that we might give thanks to you, that we might thank our mothers and fathers, that we might show mercy and grace to all around us and truly love to learn to love our neighbor. Help us, Lord, lead us and guide us, teach us to walk in your ways. And Lord, thank you that you care about each and every little need, whether needs for financial provision or needs for healing or for reconciliation in relationships. You care. We know you care, Lord, and you are always with us. And we know that you will provide the best in answer to our prayers. Deliver us, Lord, from all that is evil and unpleasing in your sight. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.